I'd like to welcome Shankar to the World Heart of Connection podcast. I'm your host, Mark Randall. I would like to welcome Shankar. I've known Shankar for many, many years, and we're out here in the beautiful garden, the back of Hepburn Springs, and it's a lovely environment, lovely to connect with nature. Welcome, mate.
Oh, thank you. I feel a bit nervous, but here it is.
Yeah, it's a good nerve.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you welcome any opportunity to share your story, I guess, too. And, you know, we've always had a pretty healthy dialogue, our inner stuff. So we've shared our paths a bit, and we do things differently, but we share a good connection.
Now, how do you connect to yourself? What does Shankar do? Do you have a daily ritual, daily routine? You know, how do you keep a check-in on where you're connecting to yourself?
Through consistent yoga, daily, mainly practice Surya Namaskar, the salutes to the sun. I built my practice up around that, and a lot of shoulder, hips, you know, always focusing on different parts of the body at different times. But generally, it's rounds of Surya Namaskar and then relaxation and more chanting these days. Devotional music, classical Indian music. I just find that sort of they all complement each other. You know, incense, chanting. I just find that can get in a really nice space to relax and do some inner work at the start of every day.
As you're connecting to your body through those processes, what do you notice happens as you connect to your body and you come within?
You just get happier. Just consistently more balanced and happier generally, you know. The most mundane physical chores can be a pleasure if you are relaxed and feel good in your body. And I've just found it a vital part of daily life now, after practicing certain, you know, as I say, mainly Surya Namaskar, but that long time practice, it just becomes more meaningful as you get older and more necessary, I think, you know. A lot of things can happen in a day, you know, without and within, and it's just become a part of my life, an important part of being able to feel good at work, do whatever needs to be done in a good headspace. I just find without it, there's a big sort of hole in the day. I just find I'm just not as grounded otherwise.
Can you describe what the process, does it bring an alignment of energy through your being, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually?
Yes. You know, big part of yoga is the chakra system, the subtle energy body. And, you know, through the postures, everything gets a squeeze, all the glands and all the channels. So yeah, it's definitely an energetic thing as well.
And are you sort of getting out of that intellectual brain as you're doing all the asanas with the yoga? And is it sort of silencing the mind down and connecting into your body, connecting into your heart? And
well, again, at the core of yoga is breath, you know, the nice deep breathing during the postures, and the breathing runs the movement, the physical stuff. So energetically, it's you are getting a lot of energy moving on the subtle bodies as well.
We all want to do this work to feel better, align, connect. As we connect in there, sometimes we're going to connect to some of the shadow side of our psyche, and we always like to disconnect and disown that. But unfortunately, it'll keep knocking on the door of the rabbit hole to come out.
That's right.
How do you notice that, and have you learned over the years to bring a loving kindness and compassion to that zone?
Well, I've had a huge journey with working with anger and those coarse male physical ego stuff. Anger's really been the most potent inward force for me. It's been a big problem and a big blessing in my life at different times. I think the whole self-awareness thing becomes huge. You become more aware of those subtle things. You can tap into those feelings earlier and manage it better, you know. And at some point, you've got to own that stuff, and it's not easy. But
and as you're beginning to notice it at more of a subtle level, are you then able to have a different connection to it rather than let it boil up into the angry reaction? Because I wonder sometimes whether we men we convert a lot of that subtle stuff into anger, pain, deep pain. Bang, convert it to anger, react.
Yeah, it's subtle, of course, and it's different for everyone. For me, to maintain an evenness in my day and in myself is hugely important. And it's very difficult to do that without some practice. You know, so it's that combination of sensible choices and living and choosing to do something each day to help you maintain a balance. So through that awareness, you're able to manage yourself better.
And as you manage yourself better, do you notice you've got a better energy flow throughout your being?
Well, it just helps all your relationships then, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And all your interactions.
Yeah, that's where I sort of, that's a good segue into, as you notice that, you got much more energy. How do you notice that impacts on your relationship and your connection to others?
As I say at the start there, I'm just a happier person when I do inward stuff. So you're able to connect to people easily, understand people well, you know, be sympathetic, empathetic, you know, through that awareness of yourself and... it just helps you, I think, connect with other people generally. Because you're connected to yourself, then, you know, it feels great when you relate to other people and connect on whatever level. In doing physical work or mundane stuff, you know. I take pride in... maintaining a good headspace when you're doing a shit-ass job, you know.
Staying in flow, so to speak.
Yeah. I mean, it. Why can't it positively impact all parts of your life if you feel good about who you are, you know?
Are you noticing that you're connecting more to your heart in this space?
Definitely. It's really a subtle thing, isn't it, to settle into that space of connection. It's all pretty heart chakra work. I think it becomes easier for men as they get older to feel into that and to be a bit more comfortable with the whole aspect of that, you know.
What do you believe is prohibiting men in the early days of their lives to connect to their hearts and do a lot of work around the heart chakra?
I think for me, it's always been about being able to be in a better control, being able to control myself and my emotions has been a huge inward motivator to do that sort of work, you know. I think it's inevitably it's emotional pain and you know, going through a difficult thing that motivates one to do more work. It's not easy work. It's not easy work facing yourself and owning your shadow side. It's,
yeah, I was like that Monty Python skit, run away, run away, run away. but unfortunately, I'm back.
You could only run so many times from yourself. You know, it can be really deeply painful stuff, confronting yourself and coming to grips with some aspects of your being.
Yeah, and that coming into those aspects, how healing have you noticed it to be?
Well, healing, wholeness, you know, how good do you feel? You know, inner work seems to have such a, you know, a deep effect on everyone around you. You know, as you get older, your relationships with your partner and your kids and your family become more and more profound. And there's a lot of healing to be had by maintaining that good vibes with whoever you comes into your life. You know, healing, wholeness, it's a, if you're alive and kicking, you're doing work, aren't you?
Yeah.
So yeah.
And from your experience, do you believe that more men are awakening and wanting to explore their, become more evolved and open the door to their hearts and connect to their healing and their wholeness?
Yeah, look, you know, it's changed a lot for men in the last 25 years. I know from how much I've changed within myself from the early raw days of being a man and a parent and a partner. It does seem, you know, like the snags, you know, the sensitive new age guys, well, you know, being more involved in their families with their kids, you know, it is a different time for men, you know, of feeling into those deeper aspects of you, of who you are and healing those rougher edges of your personality.
Would it be fair to say those rougher edges of the personality are part of the ego self and not the true self?
Yeah, definitely. Ego can be hugely painful. You know, in yoga, it's all about being able to subjugate the ego, not to eliminate the ego. That's a tough gig. You know, it's about being selfless. You know, and it's not all about you. All that sort of, you know, it's important. It's important. Everyone's got got a truth, and you know, it's, everyone has a valid story.
I'm just curious, as men are more evolving, are we allowing ourselves to have more acceptance of our vulnerability, the sensitive side of, you know, my experience working with men is at some level, we men are very, very sensitive. Our ego just doesn't want to admit it. But as we're moving forward with the proliferation of awareness around mental health, vulnerability is a really important part of that. Instead of rejecting it, are we coming into a more of an acceptance of our vulnerability and connecting to that?
I think so. You know, it's much more common for people to be out in the open to the problems in their life. For men, you know, all those macho issues. You know, sure, it's a big social problem, and suicide rates with men, you know, it still doesn't look very good. But I think people are now more and more comfortable with saying, you know, I'm going through a hard time, and I'm a bit unbalanced, and my mental health, you know, needs a bit of work. I think people are, you know, mental health days off, are you okay day, you know, depression, you know, the whole sphere of mental health as a whole has expanded, and it's more and more common. People, you know, you see high profile athletes and AFL players, you know, having to say, well, you know, guess what, I've got to do some inner work to, and that's a priority, that's the biggest priority in my life. And sometimes it takes that center stage, and I think it's healthy that you know, people in media and high profile people come out and say, yeah, I'm going through hard times, and it is okay. You have those stages in your life where everything is really tough. It's just part of life, isn't it?
Yeah, and it is part of life. And, you know, the more we have acceptance of it rather than judgment of it.
Yeah.
You know, let's stop the judgment. You know, that old macho, egoic judgment, if we could just let that go and come into much more acceptance. As part of the conversation, you know, it's connection to self, others, and all that is. When I introduce the concept to you, the all that is, what does that bring up in your mind and in your consciousness when I mention that, the all that is? And how do you connect to it? Is it your God? Is it nature? Just curiosity.
Well, I think self-time is hugely important. I think when you do practices inward that you are actually touching on deeper aspects of yourself. And it's just so important, you know, to connect to yourself. I mean, I spend a lot of time in the garden and in the soil and in nature. You know, hugely important self-time. You know, it's healthy. Just breathing and being aware of what you're doing. It's what am I connecting to? I think nature, my higher self, Mother Earth. You know, I love all those colorful descriptions, and it varies. You know, but what. Where you find comfort, where I find comfort, it varies, but we can still respect that, you know?
When you are in the garden and you're really centered and you can sometimes you experience the ego checks out and you just merge into the oneness of just with nature and Mother Earth and universe?
Yeah. There you are in your own thoughts, in nature, and it's a real stillness. Again, you know, it's a subtle thing connecting to yourself and something bigger than yourself.
Going beyond the self?
Yeah, beyond yourself. But knowing that you're also a part of it, you know, that micro universe and macro. I love all that symbolic stuff.
Do they then, in that all it is, do those macros and micros all merge into just a being?
Yeah, or just being. Exactly, just being, yeah.
What's that like, to in that being? And were you just connecting to it just then, as you were?
It feels good.
Yeah.
It feels good.
And this is one of the wonderful things about doing the podcast on Zoom is... When we're having these conversations, we start exploring these spaces and we start, you know, yeah, we're resonating, or my senses were starting to resonate in that space now. And on audio, you can't see it. You can hear it and feel it. But on video, on Zoom, people can see, you know, that essence of you as you're sitting in that being. Beautiful gift to give to yourself.
Yeah, well... it's important, that, you know, it's just an important part of life as you mature.
As more and more of us begin to access that space, that being, connect to that energy, and it starts to multiply, the more and more of us do it, what impact do you think that might have on healing Mother Earth?
Well, huge. Through that awareness of yourself, you then have the respect for the planet and Mother Nature itself. So I think it has an effect on then people's actions, you know, that awareness of what people do. You know, as people become more aware of the essence of who they are, the more likely they are to be able to honour the greater good, or the... it all, as you're suggesting, it all starts merging into the one thing, you know.
And it's really difficult, I find, at this part of the conversation to find the cognitive words that are suitable descriptors to express the experience, because what we're talking about now is more at an energetic,
yeah,
frequency, vibrational level, and it's not easy to find those words to hit that, to really define it.
It is, and it's so varied, you know. I love all religions. If people find something where they're finding it meaningful and they're able to connect to themselves and the greater greater spirit, or however you want to say it or see it, I just think there's so many paths out there, and you know, what I do in my day is different to what you do, to what anyone does, and it's unique. It's the same, that you're connecting to the same thing. And how you get there, to me, is just in the detail, you know. If what you're doing makes you feel good and you care, makes you care about others and the earth, then that's great, you know. It's hard because it's a subjective experience, you know. It's like tasting an orange. You've got to have a bit yourself. So people's experience of how they connect with themselves varies so massively. it's the same, but it's different. You're right. It is difficult to put into words that where you are then, you know?
Yeah, there's so much you were saying just then that there's so many different threads that I could run down. It's really interesting, those many different ways. I wonder for a lot of men whether, you know, mindfulness is huge and meditation is a deliberate practice, a deliberate discipline, which is the scaffolding around mindfulness. But I wonder whether men do a lot of mindfulness in their doing. You know, if they're out fishing, it's a doing form of mindfulness.
Definitely.
In the garden, it's being mowing the lawn. You know, those moments where they're just in that complete focus, where they can let everything else go.
Yeah. And for a lot of men, that's the only time that they have with themselves. I know from personal experience, having grown up on farms and in the country, fishing was a massive inward thing for me. Hunting generally, you know, I grew up on farms, so hunting and fishing was something that I did as a young person by myself. It's hard to get that out of your blood when you've grown up with that. So yeah, it's huge. I know for some men, it's the only time that they love it so much because that's the only space they get it, you know. So yeah, again, it doesn't matter how you get there.
Yeah, and I wonder for a lot of us men in that space, because you know, my experience in, you know, the therapy side of working with men is that we were very emotional beings about 5 years old, and it was the metaphorical backhand of stop sucking. So we stopped navigating that emotional landscape and went up into the intellect, into the rational, logical mind. 2 + 2 = 4. In the fishing, you know, I jokingly say, you know, back of the boat, just put your finger on the, you know. And I'm wondering whether it's also an opportunity for them to get out of that racy intellectual mind that's constantly whizzing around at 88% negative mindset. I'm joking, but you know what I mean. And it's like just that moment where they can get out of that racy mind and just connect with what they're doing.
Yeah, and the environment. You know, say you go on the Murray River, I mean, it's like the Ganges of Victoria. It's special. How is it special? Well, it's beautiful, it's in nature, and you're getting that whole experience of being right in there,
right.
Particularly in boats when you're on the water.
Yeah, no, so if you're thinking about home or you're thinking about work, you might as well be Jesus. Get out of the boat, walk across the water and go back home. You know what I mean? Because your mind's taken over. Get off the boat. Go back to the back of the boat. In one of the questions I've always been asking of late, when you're in that zone of the all that is, whatever that is to you, you're in that oneness, can you describe what happens to your mental health when you're in that place?
I think you feel self-assured and confident and just comfortable with yourself and others. You feel sure about yourself and you have that confidence that you can take on challenges and solve problems, complicated, external, but also your internal dialogue.
Now, as you're in that space, would you describe it like being in an energetic flow state that just brings this peace and freedom and equanimity and tranquility through into your whole body, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and
a deep feeling of being satisfied and content. You know, it's contentment's a big word for males, and you know, so many things go on in your life, and it's so easy to feel as though you haven't achieved enough in your life, that you haven't done enough. You know, for me, I know I'm on the edge of self-connection when I feel so content with the day or with the challenges of the day, you know. Again, a little bit hard finding the words to describe it.
In drawing the conversation to close, I always invite guests to, what piece of advice would you have for a younger Shankar about to embark on his adult journey?
Well, at some stage, your focus is going to have to focus inward. And there's many ways, as we've spoken, to do that. For me, my background in Ayurveda and yoga have been the management tools for me to connect with who I am on a deep energetic spiritual level, and that practice and has developed and continues to develop to the point where without doing those you just don't feel as able to get through days. It allows you the balance and awareness to take on any challenges, internal or external. My advice is to find your happy place, and do it. You know, if it's through fishing or hunting, then go. You know, you've got to nurture that time, don't you?
Yeah, you do. And in nurturing that time, would it be fair to describe it as you're giving yourself the love and kindness and compassion that it needs and will need and forever need?
Yeah. You've got to, the end of the day, you've got to find self-love. You want to find love for others, you've got to love yourself. And I think it provides a platform and a space to actually embrace loving yourself.
Thank you, brother, for this wonderful...
Thank you, Mark.
It's really lovely it's always been lovely to connect with you, and I really appreciate the long-time connection we've had. And it's lovely to be able to chew the fat with other men around this sort of work. It's, you know, sometimes it's a bit of a rarity to be able to have these open and transparent, and it's a real sign of men are shifting, men are wanting change.
And I trust that it comes across okay. That's my experience. At the end of the day, it's been a process. It hasn't, you know, healing who you are and rounding off your rough edges is a process. It's a timely process, and you've got to find something that helps you chip it away. To get through all your inner and outer challenges.
Great, brother.
Thanks, Mark.
Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you.